Welcome to the Inclusion Crusade. I am your host, Sarah Morgan, here on the HR Happy Hour Network. And we are on a mission to make workplaces more inclusive, one episode at a time. And I am very excited to welcome to the show today Erica Sinner. Erica is a CEO of Directory, and which is a marketing firm for pharmaceutical companies. And she has turned into an author and an advocate for the expansion of bereavement leave. And I'm so excited to talk to her today about her career evolution and what she's doing to make workplaces more inclusive. So, Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here and to be talking to your listeners.
Thank you. So, your bio goes through, and we're going to put that in the show notes, but it highlights your career. But I always love to start the show asking guests, like, really the story behind the story. What is it that led you through your career journey and how you ended up today taking this major pivot to advocate for expansion of bereavement leave? So talk to the listeners just about that.
Absolutely. So I started my career in life sciences. So I worked in a marketing team for a pharmaceutical company. I always knew I wanted to help people. I just knew I wasn't ready. I'm not in a doctor capacity or in a, actual patient care capacity, but are there other ways to help people and change the world, right? I think everyone wants to go into their careers thinking how can I make an impact? And so for me, it was, could I be a part of bringing really important medicines to the market and to patients who need the most? How do you do that? But other than working at a life science organization. So I did that for 11 years. I started at the very bottom. I think my title was like, I was like an associate. I was running, getting the coffees, printing the things, all of it. But I think it's so important to be able to really understand every level of a department of an organization to really appreciate the employee journey and the different roles. And then I stepped out on my own, and now I have trained others, and we bring employees on so that we can help small to mid-size pharmaceutical companies bring their products to market, help them commercialize. There's big pharma that has access to a lot of resources, but there's a lot of innovation happening in the medical science space, and these little companies just need a little bit of a help to get them moving forward. I think as a woman CEO, it was always important to me to say, what kind of culture do I want in my organization as I was building it? What types of things do I want to be paying attention to? What were the things that I wasn't a fan of when I worked on the corporate side that to me, it felt very obvious that we should be paying attention to? And how do we do that here at Directory? And so that has just been part of my leadership priorities, and things that we talk about every week in our leadership meetings since I started the company. I've always had pet bereavement leave in my policies, but last year, after losing my golden nugget, Kingston, that's when I wrote my book. And so that's when I turned author. But yeah, I think, my journey's been an interesting one, but I'm really happy about ending up here and being able to advocate for this change.
One of the things that, as I was doing research and working with your team in preparation for this episode, one of the things that they talked about was the Erica effect and the ways that you mentioned it, within your leadership team, like taking that lens on what it is about corporate that you don't like and how you want to do that different in the organization that you lead. Can you talk to us a little? And I know it's not a coin phrase, it's something that your team uses, but can you talk about how you kind of created that framework for yourself that your team has really grasped hold of? Because I think our listeners could really benefit from that.
Absolutely. So the Erica effect is, if you know me, I'm always highly caffeinated. I'm always ready to go. you could call me at 10 p.m. at night and say, "Let's talk about Directory," or "Let's talk about pet bereavement." And I'm like, "Yes, let's do it. I have so much to say." It is just who I am. But I would say too, the other part of who I am is I just really care a lot about other people, and my love language is, really showing up for them or sending them something to say that I'm thinking about them. And I don't think that that's like inherently something that just everybody feels comfortable in doing or is thinking about. And so for me, I actually put some protocols in place. I read this book called Moments That Matter, and it was more around, have you read that book? It's
The Eat
incredible,
Brothers.
right? Yeah, like how do you slow down time? You create a memory around it. You create an emotional connection to that moment. But it was really focused around how do you think about processes in other areas in a different way that can create these memories. And so for me, I took all the things that I learned there and decided for directory, when our employees move into a new home or when one of our clients moves to a new home, that's a big life event. And so we have a whole PowerPoint presentation where it's like, here's really important life events that can happen to us or to our employees. And here's some things that you can do to show up for them in the right way, right? Or in a way that just says, I'm thinking about you, I care. And it's both on the positive and also when they're going through a hard time. So in this presentation, I mean, it really has like when somebody gets a new job, one of our clients gets a new job, we'll send them a little plant that says, oh, you've planted new roots. Like, we're excited to watch you grow. Yeah, right. So it's we spend time really thinking about what are some ways that we can show people in an appropriate way at work, to say, like, we're thinking about you and you're a human being and we care about you as a human more than just a client. And then also for our own employees, how do we show up for them too, beyond just an email that says, congratulations on your pregnancy? Can we send them a bump box? Can we, if you get a new dog, can we send them a bark box? These are very easy $30, $40 things that I think could make a really big impact for employees. And so that's really the Erica effect that they talk about, is that, for some, it's like, I would have never thought to send an email or a text. And sometimes it is just those things too. It's not always a present or a gift. But outlining that, making sure our entire leadership team and even our managers are trained and like, here's what's available to you. When you hear these things from an employee or from a client, here's what you could be doing for them, and just reach out to operations. And we've set up a whole process for them to do that. I just think it's important, like, to highlight those things. I think shows everyone that it really matters. And sometimes to them, they're like, gosh, getting the thank you from the employee, it meant everything. And I would have never thought to have done that. So it's really just helping people show up for people in a new way.
And I would imagine that that really solidifies your culture, because I can think back on so many moments that matter, those pivotal moments in my life, and how I wished that work would have shown up for me and
And
didn't,
recognize,
or did, right? Sometimes they did get it right, and then sometimes they got it way, way wrong. And like, oh, I wish that my job had done this, or I wish that my job had thought about it this way.
even
So
just
I think it's,
acknowledged,
just to acknowledge it. And I think, and it's easier to do in the celebratory moments, but it's
100%.
very difficult to know what to do when someone's grieving, when someone is dealing with a catastrophic illness, or or some sort of, major accident, or negative life change, a divorce, a miscarriage, those sorts of things. Like, it's difficult to know what to do. You want to protect their privacy, but you also want to let them know that you're here. And so, thinking about how we would want those things handled, sometimes even asking employees what their ideas are
That's
through a
right.
survey or whatever, like that truly makes all the difference. And thank you for leading the way on that.
Of course. I think in overall, I think I always talk about this just idea of empathy-driven leadership. It doesn't always have to be gifts or text or calls when something positive or negative happens. But also, I mean, we have our internal meeting structure. We have a document called Moments That Matter, and it's more based around the meetings that we have. So here's the monthly team meeting that we have. Here's the monthly all company meeting that we have. Here's the one-on-ones that managers are required to have with their direct reports. And I would a lot of the times when new employees join, and I think they see the structure around these meetings that, like, a one-on-one being mandatory, they're like, oh, my last job, my boss and I just met when they
When they
needed
had
something.
time,
Or
or they
for
wanted
us,
an update or something
that's
like that.
yes. But for us, I mean, the one-on-ones in our Moments That Matter, we talk about, like, here's the goal of the meeting and here's the things that you can be asking. And we provide managers, here's the types of questions. I really believe culture is how employees feel on Sunday night. If you're working a Monday through Friday job, right? It's not the happy hours. It's how are they feeling when they're coming into to the place of employment. And I feel like getting a pulse on your employees, you can do it through a survey. We have our own employee satisfaction surveys too, but I really believe it comes through those one-on-one connections where you're asking and finding out about your team members and how are things going? What's something that you did that you were really proud of? What's something that was really hard that you had to work through and that you wish could have been easier? And you learn so much out of those things. And by doing that, if every manager is asking their direct reports those things, then as you continue to move up the ladder of, okay, now I have a director who's asking a marketing manager who's asking a marketing coordinator, you start to feel the pulse of the company really come all the way up so that we also can feel like, okay, there's a lot of frustrations around our computers are old. We need, you know, that might, it's a random thing, but that could be something that we invest in that really helps, you know, the team feel, do better and be more motivated.
And it's amazing how often those things are simple. Like, so many times as leaders, we think that employees want these complex, grandiose things. And it's like, actually, I just need a second monitor. And it's like a $40 solution, and I'm good to go, you know? And but we have told ourselves this lengthy story about how the thing that they're going to ask for is so outside of the reach of what the organization can provide that we're afraid to even ask the question. And so I love hearing leaders talk about that really truly open and transparent approach to tell us all either the nitty-gritty, dirty things. And sometimes the answer to those things are going to be no, and we'll explain to you why it is that it's a no. But sometimes we can look at that and go, oh, we can do that. And then we make a plan and we go forward, and we're keeping engagement high, we're keeping satisfaction high. And like you mentioned, there's a pulse to the culture that's palpable, and that's how you get everyone to be working together to make the organization great. So I'm always glad to hear when leaders are finding ways to actionize that, because if culture is, to me, I always say it's like the amalgamation of your policies and your procedures in action.
That's
And
good.
so you take time and you craft out these processes, you craft out procedures for how you handle things, you craft out policies for the way things are supposed to go. And sometimes those things come together and they create an experience that no one likes. And yet somehow we don't change it. We just keep going with whatever it is, when what we should do is evaluate it and say, yeah, this isn't what we intended. We need to rework this. And so it's always good to hear leaders who are finding ways to be very intentional and strengthening their middle managers who
That's the key.
are so under led. It's that transition from producer to first time manager. The gap between those is so it's canyon size. It's so enormous, and there still seems to be such difficulty in providing like content and resources for that particular group, even though all the data tells us that that group has a gap, and that that our turnover, our dissatisfaction is what's falling in to that gap, because managers simply don't know how to, they've never done it before, and they don't know how to do it, and they need support resources. So
Well, that's
knowing,
something. Oh, go ahead.
no, I'm just knowing that you have a process in place to help those managers guide and get ideas that they can grab hold to that are authentically them, right? Like, it might
Yes,
not be my thing to send a gift, but I definitely can send a text or just
that's
ask someone, like, here's the list of things that you can do when this happens, and it opens up a realm of possibility.
Yes. Oh my gosh, the way you just said it. I think it's can you inspire their thinking on what is them, right? Like what feels comfortable for them. And sometimes it's just drawing awareness or showing here's what's possible, here's some ideas, and then they can customize it to be their own. It is so interesting. You see the posters that say, you know, employees don't leave bad companies, they leave bad bosses or bad managers. Yet we're not helping those managers do better, right? Like to
Right.
teach them. They're trying, right? They're like, I'm trying to do the job and I'm also trying to manage the person, but they're also shifting from an individual contributor mentality to now I'm responsible for somebody's growth development plan and how am I moving them forward too. And I think with HR, you know, you're resources for human beings. You are right at an organization. I think it doesn't have to be. I really feel anytime we talk about training or I hear other organizations talk about training for this for middle managers, it turns out to be these programs or these 3 week programs or it's this big investment. And it I think those are like moments in time where you could even just send like here's six great questions to ask in your next one-on-one with your employee that might get to the things that they need. Because I also do understand, you know, it's all in the way that you ask too, right? If I ask an employee, what's something that was really frustrating last week that just you felt could have gone easier? And then that's where I hear my computer kept crashing or this thing, like I couldn't really like it took me a really long time because I had seven spreadsheets up and it, you know, if I would have had a second monitor, I think that, you know, would have helped. Or even like listening for the deeper need, they might not even know they need a second monitor. They might just be saying, I had all these spreadsheets up, and then you're taking away. Would it have helped if you had a second monitor knowing you can do something like that? But I think if HR could even provide not like a newsletter, but just tips around like, hey, better ways to have a one-on-one, or here's ways to find out if your employees are struggling in this, and here's some questions that you could ask. Even the positive ones, what's something that you were really proud of last week? And you might hear of a project that's cross-functional, and now you as a manager can highlight that with the whole team, but you're bringing, you know, awareness and celebrating the wins too. I just think it's so important to make sure employees feel like you know they are human beings. They are so much more than their job titles.
And the functions that or the outputs that they get,
Yeah.
that you actually care about them as an individual, for sure. So I want to talk about the book,
Yes.
which tell me the title.
It's Pets or Family. It's as simple as that.
Pets are family, which
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly believe. We have a Irish setter doodle
Oh.
who is like, we call him like the anchor of our family because he has his own little personality, and
They do.
we got him almost 3 years ago, and it's like we can't imagine what life is like without him. He really like bonded us together in a strange
Yeah.
way. And I know that you went through a loss of one of your pets, which inspired you to write this book
Yeah.
and then also become an advocate for the expansion of bereavement leave to include pets and to include other things. Talk to me a
Yes.
little bit about the process of writing the book, where the inspirations and things came from. And then I want to switch to
Yeah.
talking about this expansion of bereavement leave because I think it's a really important thing for organizations to be attuned to.
Absolutely. So last year, so I mentioned earlier, you know, pets for me have always been part of my family. My husband and I chose not to have children. We decided we were going to have dogs as our kids. And so I knew when any of them, you know, when it, that time came that it was going to be hard. I didn't appreciate how hard it was going to be, but I was so thankful that I had my pet bereavement leave in my policies from like inception of my company. But last year when, you know, we Kingston had can't they identified cancer in his heart. So we had a week's notice before he had to cross over and it was time for him to go. And so I took the leave. I felt, you know, really comfortable with taking it because I felt like it's in the policies. My employees can take it too. They can take advantage of it. And I found it really interesting how much shame I felt in taking it though. Like here I am at home, taking the leave that I put into a policy, and I still was questioning myself around like, am I really hurting this badly? Like, is there something wrong with me? Should it hurt this much? Will people understand? I had a lot of, you know, I ended up not just taking the leave, but then also taking additional days for myself. And I was worried my team would think, why can't she get it together? Like, it's just a dog. Or, you know, is that how a CEO is supposed to show up? And for me, right at work, if I'm having a bad day, it could signal to people, is something wrong? Is something going
Something's wrong with the
on? Yeah.
organization.
Yes. And so I also knew by being at work and not being myself, it was going to cause more harm than good too, right? I needed some space. I felt The shame in taking the leave, I thought was an interesting feeling because when I talked to my family and friends about it, they're like, but you own the company, you're the CEO, you can take off whenever you want. And I had said, it's not even about that. It's the fact I actually have it in my policy. Others can take advantage of it too. And here I am feeling shame that I'm taking it. And then 21 days later, our other Sharpay, he was diagnosed with cancer in on his tongue. And we had a whole summer of surgeries, chemo, immunotherapies, and he beat it. So he's still with us. We got to keep him.
Wonderful.
But I think that's the thing that really set me over where I was not doing well. And I ended up having to go to my doctor to say, like, I think something's going on with me. I'm not doing okay. The grief is harder than I thought. There was shame in going to the doctor, and here I work in the life science space. I advocate for others to go to the doctor when they think something is wrong and to seek professional clinical professionals. And so I just started writing. They recommended I go to therapy, and even going to therapy, I started feeling like, am I really going to therapy? Like, is this really this hard for me? And the answer is yes, it is, right? It really is. And so I just thought it was really important to write about it because I felt like if I, in my position, felt that level of shame, I can't imagine what it would feel like for an employee who doesn't have some sort of protocol in place or structure that allows them to take the day off. And I think it's really important if a company can signal in black and white, this is validate, like this is true, this is real grief. I think that helps others open up or just to say, like, okay, I need a moment to breathe.
So, what's the process now for you in working with organizations or working with groups in order to talk about the expansion of bereavement leave to include pets?
Yeah, so really it's a couple, it's multifaceted. The book I wrote for individuals who have lost a pet and they need to feel seen and heard and know nothing is wrong with them. This is very real, and I'm sending you a hug from St. Louis. I've been there too, and I feel your pain. It's also for people who don't understand, right? If you don't understand, but there's somebody that you love that's really hurting, helping them know why does it hurt this much and what's going on with them. And so I invite them into my life and I take them through the journey. And by the end, I say, I hope I don't have to prerequisite my kids with fur. But at the very end of my book, part five is all of the resources. So if you're in the middle of grieving and you're like, I have no capacity to read a book right now, you can go straight to part five. And there's just data and statistics around this is real, and take some time for yourself and talk to other people. This is the time to lean in on your friends and your family. For those who don't know how to support someone, I have, here's text messages you can send. Here's gifts that you could send if you want to send a gift. Here's ways to reintroduce them back into work is where I shift into the workplace resources. And it's in that section on the workplace resources where I have three documents. One cites SHRM, which I'm sure you and all of your listeners are very aware of, around, just the productivity cost of uncontrolled grief. I think the CDC said it was like $200 billion is lost. So it's hard data around why employers should care. And then for employees who want to go to their companies and say, I would like to have pet bereavement leave added, I have here's an email you could send to HR that outlines what it is that you're thinking about, why is it that you want to do it, what's the benefit to the employer. And then here's some FAQs that the HR person can also take because they're going to have to go in and convince the C-suite, hey, we want to add this in. And it's questions around like, how do you implement it? What does a policy say? Like, how do we roll this out? And so those resources, I think, have been really the foundational piece of when I talk to organizations around adding pet bereavement leave to their company policies, that it doesn't have to be difficult. I have had some conversations with retail companies who have said, but I don't understand, right? Like we're not like you. Our employees aren't salaried. They don't have PT, like they have some PTO days, but they're hourly and they're working at a cash register. I can't just like give them grace. And
Yuck. Yuck.
yes.
Yuck. But it's true. It's very true. And I see it in the work that I do all too often. And it's weird to me because we went through this moment in the height of the pandemic where We were very empathetic, very celebratory of our frontline and our essential workers, the
Yes.
cashier at the grocery store,
Yes.
the stocker at your Walmart, whatever it may be. And it's like as soon as we didn't have to wear masks anymore,
Oh,
we threw it all away and we're back to not valuing the humanity of that and being very upset, both as leaders of a business and both as consumers and customers,
yeah.
of being inconvenienced by the humanity
Yes.
of these
Yeah.
individuals. And it just grates me to no end, because how many times have you gone into, where that cashier who's, swiping your stuff with aggression might just be grieving.
That's right. That's
They
right. And
might be in pain. They might be thinking about their family member or their pet or whatever their loved one
Yes.
is that they can't be with because they have to be here with you swiping these items.
Yep.
And being able to see past the inconvenience and like momentary discomfort that you have to that other person's humanity and being willing to sacrifice. Like for me, swiping, like going through the self-service line, not my favorite thing to do. I definitely get an attitude about it. I don't work here. Why I got to,
That's
why
right.
I got to do this?
Yeah.
But am I willing to do it so that that person can have the time off that they need to heal and recover? Absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to pay a couple more dollars for my groceries, whatever, or the food that I get at the drive-through so that these individuals can have better wages, better benefits, things like that? Yeah, I'm so very willing to do those things. And so I'm baffled at how quickly we throw humanity aside for essentially capitalism.
And so it's interesting. Sometimes when I get in conversations with some of these organizations, and I'm like, listen, we are behind closed doors. This is just you and me talking now. So if you don't want to do it from a culture, from an empathy-driven leadership perspective, let's just get it down to brass tacks. This is your brand. When your employee comes back and they're checking somebody out, that is the experience that your customer is going to be having as they're checking out. And their reply to me is, but okay, but I can't give them multiple days. And for me, the response is more, so let's get creative about what you could do to show them that you care about them. Because the moment somebody feels like you care about them, they try, right? They feel supported. And so then they're even trying their best and they're trying better versus just feeling like, I can't believe I have to be here. I'm in so much hurt. And they had asked, like, well, how do you suggest that we do that if they are a cashier? And I'm like, let's smoke breaks. If they were a smoker, they would get a 15-minute break every hour. Is that right? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, great. So let's just apply that, right? So if you have a cashier and you have more than one employee working, maybe every hour you just go check in on them and you're like, hey, do you just need to get some fresh air? Do you need to just take a walk for a moment or walk outside and come right back inside? Even that little bit of just understanding to say, I know you're going through a hard time can change everything for an employee. That I think there's just creative ways to do it if you just think about how could I do it, right? I also talked to them about if it's not a cashier, if it's any role. I had somebody leave a review on my book that said, I'm so glad you're talking about this. After I lost my animal, I had to go to work the next day. And she is a surgical tech. And so she said, I would not have wanted somebody operating on me who is in my state, but I felt like I had to go back. I felt like I had to be there. I felt like I couldn't talk to anyone about it. And so I talk a lot about that too, where it's not just in the healthcare space, but from a quality perspective, from a your own productivity perspective, from whatever value you're delivering to your customers, there's you have you just you have to pay attention to things that are happening to your employee outside of work because that impacts how they are at work, which ultimately reflects on you as a brand and as a company.
That's so true. And so here, the question that I, one of the questions that I had, and it feels so silly to ask. I'm going to
No.
preface that, but
Okay.
is it all pets? Like, what if I have a goldfish, right? What if I have a turtle? Like, is it all pets, or do we center it on, cats and dogs and things that tend to need more attention and care? Where does that line get
Yeah.
drawn, or does it get drawn?
So I love the very end, right? In my mind, it does. I don't think the line gets drawn. I think, and some say, but gosh, like what, like how, if, what if they start to abuse the policy? What if things, it's too many days off or it's too many things? And for me, it's, listen, in the same way that with humans, there are some human beings that you have deeper relationships with. There are sometimes that people lose a human being and they don't take time off work. It's very sad. They're going to go to their funeral. They're absolutely hurting about it, but it's not completely affecting them. I think the same can go with animals. I think to earlier you just said yours had its own personality, and they all really do, right? Like that you develop your own relationship with each and every one of your animals. You might have lost one 2 years ago that didn't hurt as bad as the one that you're losing now, because we have this different relationship. That in the FAQs I talk a lot about that, where I in my mind, it's, are you connected enough with your employee that if you start to see a trend, right, you can have a different discussion with them about it. But by trying to do the right thing and by having, these one-on-ones with managers, by connecting with them more often, I think you start to get to really know your employee, and you will know, right, if it is real or not real. I think that the retail company that I was talking to, I asked, what do you do when, if somebody passed in their family, and they're like, oh, well, we make them bring the obituary in. Okay. And maybe, for hourly cashier type role, if that's their policy, I said, so apply the same. Maybe you need a vet bill, or you need a vet note, or what, however you manage it for humans, start to apply it to animals, and then figure out what's right for you. But it's really about showing up for them, because it's going to impact you in the long run too, right? And I do believe, right, some people have birds, rabbits that are, it's truly their family.
How do you work or respond that our bereavement leave for humans isn't even good enough yet?
I agree. Yep.
And so they fight against expanding it to animals because most organizations still only allow bereavement for like immediate family members. So if you have a cousin, if you have, even if you have a best friend,
Right.
the way that bereavement policies are written, it doesn't apply to that. And so, how do you respond to organizations, leaders, HR people who are like, I can't even get my company to acknowledge step parents or to acknowledge aunts as being worthy of having paid bereavement or acknowledgement
Yeah.
of how that impacts someone? And now you want me to jump all the way to animals? How do you respond to that?
Yeah, so it's a great question. It has come up even in some interviews that I've done with reporters around the fact that in the United States, we don't have a federal law that requires
No.
employers to give bereavement leave for human beings anyway, right? There's only, I think, five states that offer, like, that's mandating that that happens for human beings. This is where I say, do we need the government to tell us to do the right thing? Or can we inspire organizations in the US to step up and say, I care about my employee, turnover is high, the productivity costs, the data is all there around why this would be important. That I mean, in my mind, I hope there is a latent effect that then covers over into the human discussion. And then maybe it was just that our animals, these special little beings, are the things that spark the conversation to happen. I think that that could be really special that, we're talking about it. We wouldn't have been talking about it at all. And at least now we're talking about pets. And then it opens up the conversation to say, do we have compassionate policies? What are the things that we should be looking at? How can we create experiences for our employees in ways that are not difficult? For For us, even if I have an employee who is pregnant, when somebody goes on maternity leave, there's this form, and I don't know a lot about myself because I've never had children, but there's a form that has to be filled out while you're in the hospital. Like your doctor has to sign the form. And so our HR department emails a form. I think the customary thing is it just gets emailed, and then you put it on the employee that they're going to need to get it
They
back
have
to
a
you.
certain
And
amount of time to get it back,
yeah.
right?
But in my mind, I'm thinking, so could we just make it easier? Could we not only email the form, could we also print it and either leave it at their desk if you're in the office or ship it to their home in some with a onesie that has a logo, your logo on the onesie for a baby? Now you've made it a feeling, a moment, and you're like, don't forget to fill out
Do
this
this
form, put
too.
it in your go bag. Yes. And so that way you don't have an interruption in your own salary while you're on maternity leave. I think it's trying to be. To really just look at your policies and say, are there ways that we can add additional surround sound support to those things that could make all the difference, that doesn't cost a lot of money? And so for me, when I think about the fact that human beings, there are these strict guidelines around some people, they're like, I don't have a relationship with my mother or my father, right? So it's a, and I think I'm not the only one this way. And there are family or there are friends who are
Are
family for
my
me that.
family.
Yes, that I just feel like leaving it up to a line manager who we've already talked about it, they're already trying to figure out how to do a good job, how to manage their people, how to learn to be direct and how to give feedback and how to coach. That when these really incredibly important moments in somebody's life happen, do we leave it up to chance that they can figure it out, or do we want to go ahead and put some compassionate policies in place and then provide some training?
That's amazing. And one of the things that I say to organizations that I work with is that grief is grief.
That's right.
And so the more broad that you can make your bereavement policies, the better. I think if one of the things I hope that we did learn from COVID is that repeat loss happens. So many of us experience loss of multiple family members. I know for myself personally, I tell the story, I stopped counting at 27. I just gave up. I just gave up counting. Like, I can't do this anymore. I gave up counting, and I lost
Wow.
three of my cousins and one of my very best friends in
I'm
the
so
early
sorry.
onset. Thank you. In the early onset of COVID, some to COVID and some not related to COVID, but because of restrictions on funerals and things like that, it changes the way that you gather, the way that you grieve. And there's no prescription for that. And I'm sure, my organization at the time was like, dang, she got another funeral. Like, but this is, I'm gonna
Real
take the
life.
afternoon off because I'm in a, yet another Zoom funeral. I don't want to be here either.
That's right. That's
But
right.
here I am, and
Yeah.
grief is grief. I can remember when I was in my 20s, my dog was hit by a car and died suddenly.
Oh.
And I took the day, I took a personal day, and I intended to take the week. And I can remember my supervisor at the time calling me and being like, get over it, get in here. We need you, right? And
Yeah.
that struck me as just like one of the strangest and I would say probably cruelest experiences that I have. And what I've done similar to you is take a super empathetic approach
Yeah.
to how it is that I manage other people. And I don't judge what people deem as family and
Right.
what it is that they say that they need when they're going through hardship or whatever, because hardship is hard.
Yeah.
And why am I
Yeah.
going to make it more hard
Yeah.
by putting my parameters and my thoughts on it? Do we have a way within our existing policy and within our work to accommodate this? Okay, we do. Great.
That and that's the beautiful thing too, right? Like the people who are listening right now have the power to do it. Like that's, I think you took a personal day. And I think when you take a personal day or you take a PTO day, I think people come back from work and people are like, oh, what'd you do on your day off? And it's like I was completely crushed and grieving, right? But
I wept. I
exactly.
wept.
But
Yeah.
if you had a policy where you have allowed for pets to be a part of bereavement, you're out of office, or your commentary, or even your manager can say they're out on bereavement leave. And now everyone understands, oh, they're not here because they're really hurting. And also, maybe I need to be more considerate when they come back to not be so bubbly and happy on the call and
Demanding,
see you the
yeah.
next. Yeah. It is hard. I will say one thing I do say when I get the opportunity to talk to any HR professional is you don't have to do it all right now. You know, I really respect what Sheryl Sandberg is doing with her grief advocacy. I mean, she's grief is patient. Grief doesn't just happen when they pass. It doesn't happen 3 months after. I mean,
So
Kingston
true.
passed last May and I still cry. And I still need time. There are moments where I really just need
You
a
need a
moment.
moment.
And I recognize as an employer, you know, what she is asking for is, you know, 6 months and that it's whenever throughout the year. I understand that that is hard to do and still run a business. And so for me, I truly believe it is a win, even if it's a single day that gets added. One day at least starts to signal to your employee, this is a real thing. So much so that my company is allowing me to have a day off because it's that real. Maybe that validates for them. Maybe I should go to therapy. Maybe I should go to my doctor. Maybe now it's just starting to make it more real for them. And if they want to use PTO beyond that, well, they've earned their PTO hours. But even a single day, I think, starts to have the conversation. Now it's in the policy. Maybe next year it's 2 days. Maybe in 5 years it's 2 days. Whatever it is, but we just have to start somewhere. And there's so much data to support why it really matters, not just from a human to human connection, but from a business productivity and talent retention, talent attraction. You know, this newer generation, I am not alone in not deciding to have kids. I think a lot of people starting to just like the family structure is starting to look different. I don't, it's not always a man, a woman, and 2.5 kids, right? It could just be your animal is your family. And there's studies that are published too around the human animal connection. At my book signing, I had a psychologist from Stanford come out and give some data around that and just how close you are with your animal that. I really do believe it. Sometimes it can hurt more than when you lose a human being because they're a part of your everyday life. Some of them sleep in your bed. Mine sleep in my bed. I don't know how you get any more close than that. That I don't want anyone to feel overwhelmed by, I can't, you know, if I can't do all of these things or if I can't give weeks, even a single day, even a half day, just wherever you can start, I think matters because you're having the conversation and it's bringing awareness.
Thank you. Thank you. So tell us what is next for Erica, where you mentioned your book tour,
Yes.
where can, if people want to learn more about this, they want to connect with you, they want to talk about expanding bereavement in their organization
Yes.
to include pets. Where do they get that Erica effect? Where do they join the movement?
I love it. So my website is petsorfamily.info. It has all of the resources that are in my book on the website. There's also, I would love to connect on social media. I post a lot of updates there when I'm publishing new articles or I'm being featured in new media outlets that also provide, you know, data. Soon we'll be posting the conversation I had with Dr. Lawler from my book signing around just the real grief that comes with losing your animal. And I think it's just, you know, it's important to just make sure it's out there and to continue communicating about it or even data and statistics. But going onto the website, signing up for newsletters, connecting on social media, if you, there's an email address there too, if you're reaching out and saying, but what exactly does your policy say? Or I tried to do this, or here's the feedback that I'm getting. I am here at all hours responding to messages around. I would say this, right? I've gotten on the phone with fellow CEOs to just say, honestly, like, again, we're behind closed doors. Like, let me just talk to you about the benefits from a financial standpoint to get them on board. I would say what's next, my big thing is I just co-authored a change.org petition, where we're advocating for signatures, to advocate for pet bereavement leave. And so, going to sign that, I think even is another way you can really support the cause. Once you hit like 40,000 signatures, they've said on change.org, you really start to get attention from the government, from organizations, from big companies. And so I'm excited for that.
Excellent. Well, we will make sure to include these things in the show notes for the episode so that those who are listening and want to join the cause and support that, I know I will be among the first in line to do it.
Thank you.
Because I, as a person who has had pets most of my life, I definitely agree that the grieving process is just as intense as it is for any other loss. And bereavement should be universal, and it should be across organizations. It should be allowed for whatever the loss may be, to allow people the space that they need to grieve and to find their way back to thriving, during that season. So I definitely appreciate everything that you've shared with our listeners today. I know that they got so much wisdom from what it is that you've had to say, and I appreciate greatly what you're doing to expand bereavement and the conver especially those closed door conversations with CEOs and leaders about what the real hurdles are to why we don't do things, because sometimes that's the realest conversation that you can have. So I want to thank you so much again on behalf of the Inclusion Crusade and the HR Happy Hour Network.